Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told a parable about a man hosting a banquet. When the invited guests begged off, he found anyone he could to sit at his table. God seeks the lost, just like this man sought people to feed. Today, an inspiring lesson on reaching people with the gospel. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn to Luke chapter 14 for a lesson on getting evangelism right.
So how are you all doing today? Are you holding up okay? Everybody glad that you're here, walking in the Spirit? You know, Jesus was such a controversial teacher. The more familiar we are with the Gospels, the more we sometimes don't realize it, but really he stirred up people with his teaching, the Bible says. And sometimes his confrontations were very direct, almost unexpectedly so. I'm sure they were always loving, but they were very plain and sometimes very hurtful to the people who heard them. For example, in Luke chapter 14, and there's the passage to which you may turn, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it opens by saying that Jesus was invited to the home of a Pharisee. And they watched him, the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. They were watching him carefully because they wanted to trap him. They wanted to catch him. They wanted to discredit him. And they were trying to find out reasons why they could do so. In the next verses, the Bible says that there was a man there who had dropsy. He had an illness. And Jesus said, "Shall I heal him on the Sabbath day?" And they were quiet. And so Jesus heals him. And then Jesus says, don't you think that on the Sabbath we ought to do good? You see, they criticized him in other texts like that. They criticized him for doing work on the Sabbath. To heal somebody was to work on the Sabbath. And Jesus was pointing out that, no, if you work on the Sabbath to earn a living, that's one thing. But if you help somebody on the Sabbath, that's what the Sabbath was for. It wasn't simply as a holy day. It was a holy day, but one way to exercise your holiness is to help people. And then if that wasn't enough, here he is at the feast, and the scripture says that he was observing people. He was observing how they chose places of honor. This is verse 7 of chapter 14. We can almost visualize it. The doors open and everybody rushes to be at the best seats. Everyone wants to be next to the host, to be at his right or at his left. And so they're kind of pushing over one another, itching and elbowing each other to get to the best place. We've seen that happen, haven't we? When you have a banquet and you open the doors, and all of us have been in a position where we want to rush to the front to get the best seats. And Jesus is seeing this. And so right there in their face, he rebukes them and he says to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. Then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. He's talking to the very people who were frantically scrambling to get the best place. And what an amazing statement that those who are humble are going to be exalted. I remember sitting in a meeting years ago where someone quoted Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5, seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. And right there, I prayed to the Lord that I would never elbow my way up in the kingdom of heaven. If God desires to give someone a place of prominence, let God do it, and don't be there manipulating and initiating it on your own. Now, Jesus isn't finished. He continues, and he's speaking now directly to the man who invited him. He says, when you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot pay you back, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And Jesus is not saying we should never have those kinds of friends over who might repay us, but don't make that your emphasis. Invite those who can never pay you back. In other words, go out of your comfort zone and find the lame and the blind and the crippled. I wish I could say that we've done this more often, but I remember many, many years ago a Thanksgiving dinner that Rebecca and I had in our home, and basically it was all people who could never possibly repay us, and what a sense of delight and freedom and joy to be able to give to people, even though you know that there's no way they could ever give it back. Jesus said, use those people and give them an opportunity to be with you. And by the way, you'll be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. Years ago, I preached a sermon on what Jesus will be looking for at the judgment seat of Christ. There are at least 10 different items that are mentioned in the Bible, and this is one of them. Have you shown hospitality to people who can never pay you back, people who are marginalized, who need your love and your grace and your mercy, who least expect to receive it? Now I have to visualize the scene. Jesus has spoken to all the people. He's spoken to the person who invited him to the feast. And you can imagine after this total silence, total silence. Alistair Begg says it's something like after you've been at a feast and you're gorging yourself and you have 3 different desserts, and then someone says, well, you know that if we'd have cut back on what we were eating today, if we had eaten only half of this, it would have been able to supply food for a family starving in Ethiopia for a week. So after that, just silence. Somebody has to break the silence. Somebody needs to say something. And I can visualize that at this feast, sitting off in a corner, my imagination tells me that it's an old man who is speaking, a pious old man who has kept all the rules and gone to synagogue regularly. And so somebody needs to say something, so he does. It says in verse 15, when one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, after clearing his throat, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. You can almost imagine the way he said it. Everybody, at last, somebody said something to break the silence. Jesus picks up on this, and now we get to the parable. This is a series on parables, and here it goes. Jesus says, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many, and at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything now is ready. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. By the way, when you come across kingdom of heaven, what it means in scripture is the fact that in the Old Testament, God predicted a kingdom. He predicted a time of peace. It was to be a golden age that we believe is still going to happen, that Jesus is going to still rule from Jerusalem over this earth, and the knowledge of the Lord will be over the earth as waters cover the sea. It's going to be time of joy, a time of refreshment, a time of eating and feasting. It is going to be a very, very blessed time. So the old man was right. Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom. But Jesus said that a certain man had a feast, and this feast was prepared, and he invited people to it. Now we have to look at the text of Scripture very carefully. The Bible does not have one loose word. You'll notice that he sends servants, and it says they went to those who had been invited, and they said, come, now all things are ready. See, in those days, you didn't have cell phones and emails. So the way in which you invited people is you sent out servants, And these servants mentioned that there would be a feast on a certain day, but no time was given, because there were so many different contingencies that could change the time. And so the time of the feast was uncertain, but it was kind of like a save-the-date relationship. And apparently everyone who was invited says, yes, I'll come. Of course, in context, it's a reference to the Old Testament prophets. They came, and they were the first ones who told Israel, there's a great feast coming, Messiah is coming. And everybody said, we're happy for that day. And when Messiah comes, we'll accept him. But now, what can we say about this feast? First of all, it was very lavish. The Bible says that it was a great feast. Visualize a large room, and you cannot even see to the end of it. And along the way, there are these beautiful tables with white linen cloths and candelabra. And this is a feast that God throws. And so it's a very lavish feast. It's also a free feast. You don't have to bring anything. You know, sometimes we have potluck dinners and somebody says, well, I'll bring this dish and you bring that one and we'll put them all together. Not this one. You don't have to bring anything because the table has been spread, it's been laid, everything that you need is here. Just come. But it's also an urgent invitation, because the text says, come, for all things are now ready. If you're going to come, do it soon, because the opportunity will not be endless. It will come to an end. And so the text says, come now, because all things are ready for the feast. Now, because this is a banquet thrown by God, as Jesus was illustrating, what would you and I expect? We'd expect everybody to rush to it and say, absolutely, we're going to be there. If there was ever a time when you'd expect people to be elbowing their way into the banquet room, it would be this time. Surprisingly, that's not what happens.
Isn't it remarkable, my friend, that even though Jesus Christ offers the gospel to us, the gospel is given to us freely, the gift of eternal life? If you are thirsty, the Bible says, come and receive the water of life without money, without cost. Still, people reject it. Frequently, I'm asked as a pastor, is it hard to receive Jesus Christ as Savior? The answer is both yes and no. Yes, in this sense, we have to admit our sinfulness. We have to see our need. We have to see that Jesus is the answer to our problem and to our alienation from God. And that's difficult for us to do. In fact, so difficult that the Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts, we will not do it. So on the one hand, yes, it is difficult. On the other hand, it is very easy. We need to believe, we need to trust, and be saved. If you've believed on Jesus Christ today as a result of this ministry, why don't you connect with us? Telephone number will be given to you in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you.
Erwin Lutzer with Getting Evangelism Right, the 8th in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time, we look at the heart of God who wants his dining hall full. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.